Could there be anything more physically intimate than sharing your body with another human being for 9 months? You create a brand new organ, called the placenta, with each pregnancy, and your uterus expands 50 to 75 times its original size just to house this little person developing inside of you. So if you're not feeling all that in this exact moment, do me a favor, please, and just consider how magnificent you are. Thank you. Okay, back to the topic at hand. You share your body with another human being for almost a year. The intimacy that takes place during this time can't be matched in any other experience, period. Some folks love it, while others don't. Let's be real for a minute. Pregnancy is not unicorns and rainbows for most people. There's a reason that you're physically uncomfortable while pregnant, y'all. There used to be all the space in the world for your internal organs to just be where they're supposed to be, doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. But then you get pregnant, and everything, and I do mean everything, has to make way for the growing baby inside of you. Did you know that your heart moves up and to the left just a bit so you can fit your kiddo inside your torso? Don't worry. After pregnancy, everything goes blah, 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 right back into its original place, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't make that sound. Again, you are incredible. But is the sacrifice we make to gain this physical intimacy with our babies ever even acknowledged? Do we talk about what it's like to miss being pregnant, even if we hated most of it? What about if we've done this before and we're not feeling that connected, physically or otherwise, to this baby? Is that okay? And what does that shared physical intimacy mean when our babies start moving through the world all on their own? Welcome. My name is Barb Buckner Suarez. For over 2 decades, I've worked as a childbirth educator and a couples coach, helping thousands of families say yes to parenting. I've got some thoughts about how life changes when we choose to become parents. Those thoughts may be irreverent, funny, or countercultural at times, but I promise you, they will always be real. Whether you're curious about starting a family, in the middle of your fourth pregnancy, or your birthing days are long over, raising the next generation is hard, and all of us could use a little more support. I want this to be a place where you can find that support. Because let's face it, birth happens. Saying yes to pregnancy, labor, and birth, and then signing on to raise your newborn to adulthood is a lot. Sure, there's beauty and joy, and it's true for most folks that you'll experience a love like no other when you become somebody's parent. But there's also a ton of sacrifice and intensity involved. We're called on to change and adapt in ways that are obvious. Hello, stretch marks. Hello, bigger bra cup size. And ways that aren't seen, but felt so deeply that they leave an ache that we can't seem to name. The speed with which we embrace our new parent selves and all the changes that come with that role, it's different for everyone. It might be helpful to remember this as we look to those who came before us or those who make different parenting choices from our own. We're all just doing the best we can on any given day. It's important to note that having done it one way with your first does not mean it'll work the same way with any of their younger siblings. Our littles will not stay little forever, y'all. But this is not the point where I say, so you should enjoy every minute of it. Nope. You can hate big parts of it. That's okay by me. My point is nothing lasts forever. The hard parts will end, I promise. But that means the good stuff ends too. When you think about the intimacy that you get to share with the baby inside of you, who decides they want to party just when you're ready for bed, or the intimacy of locked eyes while you feed your newborn for what feels like the 20th time today, or the goofy songs you create to sing so that diapering or bath time is more fun for you both. That intimacy changes over time. So maybe try to capture a few moments of that shared intimacy today. Parenting is hard, y'all, but it's also a gift. I love this quote about adaptation from Linda Rottenberg, author and CEO founder of Endeavor, a nonprofit organization designed to support entrepreneurs. Quote, "Today we all have a choice. We can take risks and actions to ensure that we adapt with the constantly changing times, or we can hope for the best and do nothing. Adapt from within, or you may be forced to adapt from without. Are you ready?" End quote. Well, y'all, I can think of no other time in my life where I've had to adapt more than when I became a parent. Starting with pregnancy, I felt like I had to adapt constantly, month by month, week by week, day by day, hour by hour, and so on. We are creatures who appreciate the usual, our known norm. We like having expectations about how our lives will flow from one day to the next, because it allows us to wake up in the morning and get on with our day. If the world was an uncertain mess, which in reality it kind of is most of the time, and we focused only on the not knowing what to expectness of it all, we'd likely become paralyzed. Doubt, fear, and concern about what's going to happen next weighing us down. I was incredibly sick with my first pregnancy. I threw up about 10 times a day until I was 16 weeks along. I lost 15 pounds during that first trimester. I had to adapt and adapt quickly to this huge change in how I felt physically all day, every day. Until that glorious morning when I woke up and didn't have to throw up. My body had finally decided that the baby growing inside of me was not the enemy, and that we could continue to coexist without attacking one another. But then I had to adapt to the fact that once I could eat, I wanted to eat everything not nailed down. I made up for lost time, y'all. I ended up gaining 45 pounds over my starting weight, which really means I gained 60 pounds total, if you count the original 15 I'd lost due to all the puking. I had to adapt to my ever-expanding and changing body as the baby took up more and more space, making it harder to breathe and move about in the world. I had to adapt to having to pee every 15 minutes throughout the day and night, and eventually I had to adapt to eating Tums before, during, and after every meal, because I could never be sure what would trigger my intense heartburn. Toward the end of my pregnancy, I had to adapt to wearing a belly band because my round ligaments were so tired of holding up my belly throughout the day. And right before I gave birth, I had to adapt to crawling or being carried up to bed at night because my sciatica had gotten so bad that walking up a flight of stairs would shoot searing pain down my backside. Know this, pregnant people are all about adaptation. The process of carrying a baby within our own bodies forces us to adapt from the earliest days of our pregnancy. And in this way, we have both an advantage and disadvantage over our non-pregnant partner. How is this a disadvantage? Please! I'm pretty sure I've already made my case. All the physical changes that happen during pregnancy can be incredibly challenging. And I'm going to say it, sometimes pregnancy sucks. Not everyone loves it all the time, and some of us really don't like it much at all. Pregnancy takes a toll on us, but we often don't even acknowledge this. We just adapt. We keep going. We roll with it. We throw up right before teaching a class, hold it together for 2 hours, say goodnight to our students, and make it to the bathroom just in time to throw up again after they've all left. But this is where we have an advantage over our partners. Wait, what? How is any of this an advantage? Well, we've been adapting for 9+ months before the baby arrives. We've already gotten a taste of what's to come, what will be asked of us as new parents, because we've already been doing it for a long time. This means that we're a tiny bit more prepared than our partners might be for the rapid-fire adaptation that's a requirement once our baby's ex utero. We all have a choice. We can take action in order to adapt to changing times, or we can hope for the best and do nothing. But in new parenting, y'all, I'm not sure that there really is a choice. You must either adapt and adapt quickly on your own, or your little 6-pound peanut will make sure you adapt in order to satisfy their needs for survival. There really is no hoping for the best and doing nothing option when it comes to your role as a new parent. But by the end of the fourth trimester, it's hard to remember what life was really like before the baby came. Those first 3 months postpartum are intense and packed with so much to learn in such a short period of time. It's hard to take stock of how many ways you've adapted to this new role of parenting. Because even though 12 weeks in, you might feel like you're no longer crawling through the trenches of new parenting, it never really ends. You really are amazing. You know that? As a parent, you're learning hundreds of new skills each and every day, applying them and testing them out in real time. Sometimes with great success. Sometimes, maybe not so much. But either way, you should be super impressed with your overall ability to adapt to this new role as well as you have. It's not easy becoming a whole new person while caring for a whole new person and being in relationship with a whole new person. Lots of changes keep coming at you, which makes lots of adaptations necessary. Navigating this new terrain is challenging, to say the least, but it's not something you can just refuse to do. It's required of you. This is your new normal, your new reality. Continuing to adapt will become the way you live your life now. Because this parenting gig is based on a relationship you share with your child, someone who is forever changing and adapting to their own environment as they grow and develop. From a wailing and hangry newborn to a cooing and babbling infant. From an unsure and unsteady toddler to a walking, talking, running child. From an independent and sometimes sassy youth to, eventually, a distinct individual with their own thoughts, feelings, and passions that may or may not match up with your own. Adaptation will be necessary even as your baby moves into adulthood, because you're both forever changing from one day to the next. Adapt from within, or you may be forced to adapt from without. Are you ready? I think many new parents feel that when they have a baby, they'll essentially remain the exact same person that they were before, only now they'll have a baby. And there's great appeal in this idea because human beings don't really like change. We like things to be predictable. It's not that we're boring exactly, it's just that we'd like to be prepared for anything different or exciting. We'd like to plan it all out a little bit so there are no hidden surprises. Well, surprise! Parenting doesn't really prescribe to this method at all. It's no wonder, then, that it might take some time to embrace our new roles as parents. I use the word embrace purposely because it's not just about acknowledging that there's been a change. No, embrace, by definition, means to accept or support a belief, theory, or change willingly and enthusiastically. This might take some time. That's okay. I want you to know that it's okay to buck against this embracing of new parenthood for at least a little while. But at some point, you'll realize that trying to remain the same person you were before the birth of your baby just isn't realistic. And the longer you fight this idea, the harder the newborn period will be for you as an individual, for you and your partner as a couple, and for all of you as a new family. So how do you go from fighting this new change to truly embracing it? Well, that can be different for different people. Take me, for example. With my first baby, I remember in the beginning trying desperately to get her to nap during the day. I'd nurse her, burp her, and nurse her again. She'd nod off in my arms, and I would wait for her to show those signs of deep sleep before I'd even think about putting her down in the bassinet. But the minute I tried to lay her down, her eyes would pop open and she'd be wide awake. At first, I thought maybe it was the cold sheets in the bassinet, so I put a heating pad in to warm it up before I laid her down. As I took the heating pad out, I could feel that the sheets were toasty and warm now, so she should nod off to dreamland, right? Wrong. The minute she was out of my arms, she would wake up again. I was getting nothing done, and I could feel my frustration climbing with every passing day. This had become our new pattern. Baby is calm and sleeping when she's against my body. Awake, alert, and fussy when she's not. Hey, wait a minute. The thought that had been stuck in my head and playing on repeat was this. The only way I'll ever get anything done is if my baby sleeps on her own during the day. Imagine how hard it was for me to turn that thought into, I'll wear my baby everywhere during the day so that she sleeps and I can actually get some stuff done. That was a big stretch for me. It might not be for you. But after I embraced this idea willingly and enthusiastically, everything about the newborn stage changed for me. I wore my baby almost nonstop during daytime hours for the first 3 months of her life. I got really good at being able to go to the bathroom with a baby strapped to my chest. I ate all my meals with a napkin over her head so scraps of food didn't end up in her hair. I even took the heat from mothers who claimed I was spoiling my newborn and she'd never learn to take naps or get to sleep on her own. Which is not true, y'all. She's always been my best sleeper. I continued this new way of doing things because I embraced that my life had actually changed. Whatever I thought might happen before the baby was born was replaced by the reality of what was happening now that the baby was here. I knew if I wanted to get things done, I'd be much more successful if I kept her close to my heart, apparently where she most wanted to be. Which makes a lot of sense, y'all. When she was inside of me, it was warm, and my heartbeat was a constant reminder of our shared physical connection. She wasn't quite ready for that separation to occur just yet. Now, your baby might be a napping dream and sleeps in their bassinet during the daytime with no problem. And if that's your experience, I'm happy for you, I promise. But if you're like me and have a baby that's not so sure about daytime separation from you, take heart. This was a temporary solution that greatly impacted how I felt about being a new parent. And this was only the first of many things I remember having to embrace in my new role. You might have a different challenge or struggle that's keeping you from embracing your new role. How could you change your perspective to help lessen your grip on any fear of change? Does it help to place whatever it might be into the category of temporary? Try finishing this statement. This will probably not have to happen forever, but right now what's working for us as a family is ... All I can tell you is that my transition with each subsequent baby was so much easier when I realized from the very beginning I'd just be wearing them for the first 3 months of their lives. I didn't waste any time fighting or resisting this change. I embraced it wholeheartedly. Are you finding it hard to embrace your new role as a parent? What's been the biggest challenge for you? How do you think you can embrace this challenge instead of continuing to fight it? Maybe you've heard this quote from Elizabeth Stone. Making the decision to have a child, it is momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body. being in the baby business, that is working as a childbirth educator for the past couple of decades, this quote is a really familiar one for me. I often see it used in media geared toward first-timers, and this makes sense. You're just beginning your parenting journey. At that point, I imagine the part of the quote that stands out most might be, making the decision to have a child, it is momentous. And it is. It is momentous. But the farther along I am in my own parenting journey, it's the second half of this quote that holds all the emphasis for me. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body. And the word that most stands out for me now is forever. My firstborn is grown and gone, y'all. How did that happen? I remember her birth in fourth trimester as if it happened yesterday. Blink. And now she's a grown-ass woman. But not yet. Not yet. She's still young and learning in so many ways. And let's be real, she will always be my baby, as will my other three, even when they're middle-aged and having babies of their own. And over the years, I've had to watch as my babies, once a part of me, both figuratively and literally, go through the pain and suffering that's just a part of life. I think I'll always be a little bit surprised at how their physical and emotional experience impacts mine. They don't tell you that when you become a mama yourself, that you become a mama in the more universal sense of the word. When a child in your corner of the world is hurting, you might only be feeling a fraction of the pain that their mama is feeling, but you feel it. Yes, you do. You're outraged, heartbroken, numb at a complete loss, searching for the words, any words that might show this mama that you're hurting too. While you can't begin to imagine what they're going through and have no idea how they're getting up in the morning, eating, showering, taking care of themselves, basically still living, you're desperate for them to know that you're holding them in their pain and suffering, because they're absolutely suffering in the worst sense of the word. When you're just embarking on your parenting journey, it is momentous, it's earth-shattering, it's significant, it's important, it's critical, it's life and death, but it is also forever. My kiddos need me more now than ever before. It's only a matter of time before the last one is launched and on their own. I still have a handful of years before that happens, but I know how fast the time will go. I take refuge knowing that my journey will still continue on and on and on and on. It never ends. My heart first left and started walking around outside my body over 22 years ago, and there's no indication that it's ever going back inside where I can keep it safe and sound. I've got to keep living day after day with the knowledge that at any time, something might happen to one of my babies. And the thought of this can be paralyzing. It's one of those things I can't obsess about, or I'd never be able to allow my children to do anything out of my eyesight, away from the protection of my loving arms. But even then, even when we're watching like a hawk, they still somehow manage to fall off the slide, trip over their own 2 feet, get tackled in the middle of a soccer game, have their heart broken by someone who can't see what I see, suffer when their friends are gone from their lives for good. I'm asking all mamas, all parents really, to please take care of one another. Instead of finding fault with the decisions that other parents are making all around you, extend some well-deserved and much-needed parent-to-parent empathy. This journey you're just beginning is a very long one. It never ends. It is forever. And you'll need support to help you get through the day-to-day, let alone the tragedies that might happen along the way. First, practice loving kindness toward yourself in this momentous, life-changing, earth-shattering journey of parenthood. But then make sure to extend that loving kindness to all parents. We're all in this together, trying our best. Sometimes we're winning at this whole parenthood thing, and sometimes we're just not. But there might come a time when you'll be hurting, maybe even suffering, because your heart, the one that exists outside of your body, the one that is walking around in the world, the one that used to beat in unison with yours, but now beats all on its own, that heart might get broken from time to time. And I want there to be a community out there who can support you, love you, and provide you with enough empathy to help keep you going on your parenting journey. This doesn't happen. It won't happen until we truly start supporting one another as we make our way in this world as parents, brand new or otherwise. When you become a parent for the second time, an interesting thing happens. Everyone around you is like, oh, that's so exciting. You're going to have another baby. And then crickets. There's an assumption that because you've done this thing once before, there's really no reason you shouldn't be able to do it all again, right? And you might even think to yourself, sure, no problem. I fell into this trap when I was pregnant with my second. The newness of it all had been rubbed away. I wasn't anticipating each little twinge as something exciting to consider in my baby's development. I didn't worry myself with what size or type of fruit my baby most resembled at whatever week gestation I was, because I was taking care of a toddler. If you've never cared for a toddler full time, you have no idea how exhausting this can be. I'm not complaining. It's just facts. Toddlers are the busiest people on the planet. They are scientists, acrobats, adventurers, runners, comedians, dancers, screamers, streakers, wonder trackers, and tyrants, all at the same time. But they're trapped in this impossibly tiny package that can't do anything at even an intermediate level just yet. So you gotta watch them all the time and then carry them when all the things that they want to do wear them out. Carrying a toddler is like hauling a wet bag of cement around with you all day long. Taking care of a toddler is a workout, y'all. Because I was busy and distracted with my first, it shouldn't have surprised me that I woke up one morning about 6 months into my second pregnancy and realized, holy crap, I'm going to have a baby in like 3 months. I freaked out, to be perfectly honest. It wasn't that I didn't want the second baby. We'd planned this pregnancy, and our kiddos would be a beautiful 2.5 years apart, almost the day. But that morning, I was not feeling ready. The pregnancy had flown by, and I was feeling super disconnected from the baby inside. Had I really spent any time thinking about this new little one? Or had I mostly been complaining about my all-day sickness that I had to suck up because I had a toddler? Or the fact that I could no longer tie my shoes, and neither could my toddler? Or how tired I was because I was taking care of my toddler, or how what I really needed was a nap, but instead I got to clean up after my toddler while she took a nap. We didn't do a second baby shower because that just looks greedy. Besides, we had all the baby gear we would need. No, I didn't need any more stuff. But in hindsight, it would have been nice to have a thing that wasn't a shower where everyone was expected to bring gifts. I don't even know what you would call it really, but something that recognized that we were brave enough to do it all over again. The sleepless nights, the cracked nipples, the diapers, times two. The strain on our relationship with one another and with our firstborn when we moved from being a family of three to a family of four. But everyone assumes if you've done it once, you know what you're doing, right? My husband, who'd been an amazing help to me throughout my first pregnancy, kinda dropped the ball on round two. I remember waking up one morning and telling him, "You're calling in sick today and taking care of the 2-year-old." When he asked, "Why? Are you thrown up or sick or something?" I collapsed into tears, covered my head with the covers, and wailed, "No, I just can't do it all today. I cannot be pregnant and take care of a toddler. I just can't. Please don't make me." My whimpers were met by him peeking under the covers to say, "I'm sorry, I know this sounds weird, but I kind of forgot that this pregnancy might be hard for you. After watching you give birth, I feel like you could do anything." Aw, what a nice thing to say. I still made him stay home, while I stayed under the covers to have a good cry and feel sorry for myself, because even I didn't get it. I'd placed ridiculously high standards on how I was going to fly through the subsequent pregnancy because I already knew what to expect. I'd been there, done that. But that was a mistake. When I decided that I was going to handle things much better during my second pregnancy, whatever that means, I gave the impression to everyone around me, I'm good. We do not need to treat this as an exhausting or challenging time in my life. I can easily move through the world for the next 9 months, just as sick as I was the first time around, just as tired, even more anxious about what the future might look like with two kiddos instead of only one, and all with a two-year-old either on my hip or sitting in my ever-shrinking lap. Don't worry about me, because I've done it all before. It's no big deal. My friends, it's a big deal. Having a baby, your first or your 10th, is a really big deal. The changes that happen to your body are intense and deserving of respect. The physical exhaustion of creating a whole brand new person is real, and it exacts a toll on our bodies and our minds. While there might not be a lot of firsts with subsequent pregnancies, it still matters that you connect with this little person inside of you in any way that you can and as often as you're able to. When I woke up that morning and realized I only had 3 months left to my second pregnancy and that I'd been feeling distracted and disconnected for most of it, I went out and found a pregnancy journal. It was one of those great books that you're supposed to start the minute you find out you're pregnant, with all kinds of daily writing prompts to help you get from, hey, it worked, to the big day of birth. Oops. I just flipped ahead about 180 pages and started fresh in mid-January, hoping to find some time each day for what remained of this pregnancy to connect and focus on what was about to happen instead of staying caught up in all that was happening right now. Second babies are notorious for coming into the world fast and furious, at least if their older sibling was born vaginally and within 4 years. And this was definitely true for me. Without going into too much detail, my first birth was close to 30 hours of back labor, and she came out looking up at the stars after close to 2 hours of pushing. My second shot into the world like a ball from a cannon. We were in the hospital for all of 45 minutes before I pushed twice and he came flying out into the provider's hands. I know that to the uninitiated, this second birth might sound like a dream in comparison to my first. But for those in the know, quick births are great when they're over. The intensity of doing all the same amount of work in such a compressed amount of time sometimes means that the emotional work of birth doesn't always have time to be completed before the baby arrives. I felt good physically after my second birth, but I felt so much more insecurity than I would have thought possible having already been a mama for 2.5 years. I think part of this was because everyone, myself included, thinks that if you've done it once, you're good to go. I had some breastfeeding issues the second time around that weren't the same as with my first. Duh. Different baby, different issues. When the lactation consultant was finally brought in, she saw the baby latched on and asked, how long had I breastfed my first? When I responded, around 21 months, she walked out the door saying, oh, you're going to be great. Call if you have any issues, but I don't think you will. The nurses didn't spend much time talking to us about how to diaper and swaddle the baby because we'd done it before. But this was a boy baby with boy parts. How would we avoid getting peed on? He was also a lot more vocal and not as easy to soothe as his big sister had been. So what was up with that? When we got home, what was necessary became our reality. My husband took care of the toddler so that I could take care of the newborn. But last time, there were two adults taking care of the baby, and it was hard. How was I supposed to do this mostly on my own? I also missed getting to be with my much easier to care for, or so it seemed now, toddler. The fourth trimester is real, y'all, for each and every baby. In fact, the fourth trimester is real for every major life change that happens to a family. You have to give yourselves, everyone, a full 3 months to adapt to your new normal, be that moving from a family of 3 to 4 or launching your first off to college and out of the house. It would be lovely if we had a ritual to mark these fourth trimesters where the people you love and care about come together to acknowledge all the joys and all the challenges that you'll be facing as you move through this next iteration of what it means to be a family. With another one coming into the nest, or another one leaving, we need to stop setting ourselves up by thinking, well, we've gone through this before, so I'm sure we're ready. You're never really ready. Acknowledging this universal truth releases the extra pressure you put on yourself and those around you, as you all take the necessary time to figure out how to do this thing, whatever it is. Because even if you've given birth before, breastfed a baby before, changed a diaper before, sent a child to kindergarten before, helped one of your kids get ready for prom before, sent one of your almost grown babies off to college before, you haven't done it with this child. Each of your children is a unique individual, and by the time you're doing this thing, whatever it is, with this child, you are a different person than you were the first time around, with a completely new reality that didn't exist before now. My idea of fourth trimester showers will probably not catch on. There are those who might think it's trivial or unnecessary to mark these life events that are not first as anything other than been there, done that experiences. But I think if we do, we're shortchanging ourselves and our children from being able to see with new eyes and feel with new hearts. Our realities are constantly shifting and changing beneath our feet. Why not honor those realities and take the time to create a brand new normal for what it's like to be a part of a family at every age and stage along the journey? I wrote this poem a while ago. It's dedicated to my four babies who were once, literally, a part of my body. It's titled, "You Don't Belong to Me." You don't belong to me. You never have. But that doesn't mean you're not part of me. After all, we were once a single being. You and me and you. You and me. We breathed the same air, ate the same food, though we never seemed to master the same sleep cycle. Even as you were still inside me, you were already separate from me, separating from me. Over the years, I've tried to encourage that separation, to make sure you'd grow into adulthood in one piece. More or less. I tried to make sure that you didn't grow up to be an asshole. I tried to make sure that when your heart got broken, that you would still be whole. I tried to make sure you knew that who you are right now is more than enough, and all that you are still becoming is even more than can be imagined. I tried to make sure that when it was time to let you go, that we'd both be ready. Well, how'd I do? You don't belong to me. You never have. but I hope you know just how much I tried to make sure that now and forever, you would always feel like you belonged to me. It can be physically harder for the pregnant parent. After all, they're the one who's doing the heavy lifting of carrying the baby in utero. But that doesn't mean the pregnancy is automatically easier for their non-pregnant partner. It can be challenging when the baby doesn't feel quite real. Not having the daily physical reminders that a baby's on the way can leave partners feeling a bit left out or disconnected. But that doesn't mean their experience is less important. It's just different. I asked my partner, Roberto, to share some of what he remembers going through when the physical intimacy that I share with our babies during pregnancy was something that only I could experience. Here's what he had to say.
It's hard for me to, I guess, envision myself as pregnant because that was so much a part of your experience. I didn't feel like it was, I don't know, somehow it didn't feel fair for me to say that I was having a baby or expecting a baby in the same way that you were. I would say that it was more of an emotional experience. A lot of nervousness and anticipation. You know me as being somebody who can worry about things a lot. And so that sense of worrying that everything would be okay, that we'd be able to take care and bring into the world these children, or especially during the first pregnancy, you know, our daughter Elisa at the time. But the idea of being physically pregnant and, you know, recognizing and knowing that you were pregnant, it didn't quite extend to me in a physical way. I was appreciative of everything you were able to convey to me about the experience. And, you know, I was able to see on a daily basis your belly growing and place my hands on the belly and kind of get a sense of what you were going through, and also saw the ups and downs of how you felt, whether it was sick or needing to satisfy certain cravings or being tired. So I think I, by proxy, kind of appreciated those challenges and understood them in some sense in empathizing with you. But I cannot tell you that there was ever a sense for me of physically what it would be to feel like I was pregnant. I don't think I could associate it that closely to myself. And I think that ties into some of that ability to connect with the baby when you were going through pregnancy. Again, there were ways in which you could try to convey to me. I remember you telling me early on, you know, saying the feeling of something inside of you growing, the feeling of every time the baby kicked or the baby made a certain kind of movement. You know, sometimes Elisa would do some like somersaults in your belly, and you'd be like, "Oh my gosh, she's really moving right now." We didn't know it was a she at the time, but you know what I'm saying. And yeah, you know, I could get a perspective or a little bit of that when I touched your belly and I felt a kick, but I didn't always feel it, didn't feel it, you know, as intensely as you could feel it being the one actually carrying our children inside of you. I think certain aspects like being able to look at the photos of the ultrasound or hearing the heartbeat when we would visit the doctor, those were ways in which I could connect more physically with that experience and making that connection. But to me, it really kind of became a real thing. The baby really became real to me when she was born, especially with the first one, right? When Elisa was born, I was able to really kind of feel that intense connection and intense sense of another living being becoming a part of my family that you had felt for the 9 months prior to that day. As far as developing a connection with her, I mean, again, I think early on, you were very good about making sure that I kind of found my things to do with the baby that connected me to her in ways that were maybe secondary to you, to your role, right? So, you know, we knew, for example, feeding her, especially early on, was very much a piece that only you were doing, especially because you were primarily breastfeeding. But, you know, I remember within a month or so, we started to have you pump some milk so that you could take a break and I could start feeding. So I had the opportunity to feed Elisa, you know, a fairly young age. Eventually, you returned to start doing some work in the evenings, I remember. And it was my duty to be the one to feed her at her set times because you were not there, or taking turns with the night shift. You know, as much as it was kind of challenging and painful to lose those hours of sleep, having that opportunity to be the one parent to say, you know, I'm the one staying late until a certain time until she goes to sleep, and then picking up the shift later in the evening if she woke up, it created an opportunity for the relationship to become more solid and more real. And then when she was a little older, I remember, you know, there were particular chores, like the bathing of the kids became dad's thing. It was part of my routine. And so creating those opportunities for me to be able to share those moments allowed for, in a way, kind of allowed me to kind of make up for some of the experiences that during the time of pregnancy, I wasn't as closely connected or tied to.
Y'all, sharing my body with the four amazing humans that made me a mama was the hardest physical sacrifice I've ever made in my life. But it's also one that I'll never regret making. Despite not enjoying being a pregnant person, I actually missed being pregnant in the early days following each of my baby's entrances into this world. I mean, we were one human being for a really long time. I missed having them inside of me. I love being able to identify their personalities by tracking their movements. Dealing with all the aches and pains of pregnancy, facing every contraction, pushing them out of my body, feeding them from a part of my body that had, until then, been just a decoration. All of it seems a little bit surreal. But it also feels like no one else will ever know them the way that I do. And for that, I'm grateful. Connection is the key to it all. But don't get too caught up about when that connection becomes real for you. For some, it's during pregnancy. Others, during labor and birth. And still others, sometime after that. In the quiet stillness of a regular Tuesday afternoon, when the sight of your little one makes your breath catch in your throat. There it is. Connection. The stuff that makes everything worthwhile. If listening to this episode of Birth Happens was worth your while, please head over to wherever you find your podcasts and hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And while you're at it, leave a review so that others can discover this podcast for themselves. Check out today's show notes for resources. And as always, I look forward to connecting with you next time on Birth Happens.